Today's scripture comes from Proverbs chapter 2. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul.
I want to read to you a quote from author John Maxwell. He once wrote, "You cannot overestimate the unimportance of practically everything." You cannot overestimate the unimportance of practically everything. Now, if English is not your first language, that might be a little twisted sentence, so let me make it more simple. Almost everything is not important. Almost everything is unimportant. And if you want to make someone really mad, tell them that what they're doing is not important, that what they are working on and devoting themselves to and putting energy into, tell them that's not important, and that will upset people. John Maxwell also wrote a little illustration of this. He said, imagine that there is an ancient group going through a thick jungle, and they have their machetes, and they're cutting, and they're sweating, and they're inch by inch working their way through that thick jungle, working, exhausting themselves in the task. And then, as everyone is working so hard, someone climbs a tree and yells out to the group, "Wrong jungle." That will upset people. When we devote ourselves to something, when we have made something important in our life, a very quick way of making people upset is to tell them this is not important. Years ago, I was working in this organization. I had a boss that was honestly just quite difficult. And I did not like working with this boss. He was critical all the time, always criticizing. And honestly, I had always been praised for my work. I had always worked hard and done a good job. I thought so. My bosses thought so. All my reviews were very, very good. And so I was not used to being criticized in my job. And a lot of the other fellow employees felt the same way. We felt like we were doing pretty good. And all the other bosses we had thought we were doing great. But this person came along and was constantly critical. And so, you know, I was looking for a way to get along with this person. And he was always talking about organization. Everything needed to be organized. Now, I'm not opposed to organization, but he took it to an extreme. Everything had to be documented. Everything had to be just so-so. And so one day he was going on and on about how unorganized things were. And he said, "We need one binder, a three-ring binder full of papers that will organize everything. One organized spot. We need to know what every person is doing every day. We need to know every timeline, everything that's happening in every department. We need to know everything that's happening and have it documented on paper and inside one place." And I saw an opportunity. I thought, I can do that. And so, wanting to get along with this boss, I said, "I'll do that. I can spend some time doing that." And so for several weeks, I interviewed everyone that worked there. I found out what they did in detail, and I documented it. I made sure that I talked to every single person about everything they did and documented carefully. And I gave reports every week to my boss, and he would usually nod and say, "Yeah, that's good, that's good." And I thought, that's about as good a praise as you're going to get from this person. So I was feeling good. And then I was about 1 or 2 weeks from finishing this project. And I was reporting to the boss about what progress I was making, that I had almost every single thing documented in detail. And he said, well, I'm just not so sure you should have spent so much time on this. I mean, that binder is just going to end up in a drawer somewhere. Nobody's going to look at it. I don't know when I've been so angry. I was so mad because, frankly, I didn't think the task was important to start with. I thought we were working just fine. I thought the office was pretty well organized, in my opinion, but I know you can always do more. So the project wasn't important to me. The boss thinking I was doing a good job was important to me. And still, even though I was doing what he wanted, the fact that he thought it was unimportant. And you know what happened to that great big binder I put together? Ended up in a drawer. No one ever looked at it, just like he said. It's so discouraging when someone tells us what we are doing in our life is unimportant. We put a lot of effort into these things for a number of reasons. One, because we might think it's important. Two, because we're trying to please someone who is important to us. Three, we might not even know why we think it's important, but we've put so much time and effort into it that it must be, and now we're going to make it important. You know, sometimes we've just worked so hard at something that we've just decided it's important. It must be, because look at how much time I've put into it. And if somebody says, why is that important? We don't know why, but it's important because we've worked so hard on it so far. And so I'm going to run a risk today, knowing all of this, that we don't like to be told what we're doing is not important. I'm going to run a risk because the Bible tells us that most of what we're doing is not important. It tells us what is important. And according to the Psalms, or the Proverbs that we just read, it's wisdom. Wisdom is the truly important thing that the Bible tells us needs to be sought after more than gold, more than silver. Like, go after it like it's buried treasure. That with everything in you, you go after wisdom. Now, it's important to understand what that is. That wisdom is not just knowledge. It's not just a set of skills. Wisdom is spirituality. The proverb we just read said that God holds that wisdom, that God is the giver of that wisdom. That wisdom comes from God, that it is a spiritual endeavor, that the Lord is the giver of wisdom, that the Lord gives wisdom, and from the mouth comes knowledge and understanding. This is all from God, that God gives these things as a spiritual gift. And so ultimately, if we're pursuing wisdom, we're pursuing God. We're pursuing the knowledge of God, the understanding of God, that this all comes from the idea of spirituality. So is that what we're focused on? Is that what our life is focused on every day? Is the knowledge and understanding of God, of what wisdom God will give us, the experience with the divine, of having more of God's spirit within us and more understanding and knowledge from God? Or are we focused on a lot of other things? And the reality is, for most people, we're focused on a lot of other things. We're focused on a lot of tasks of life that we're pretty sure are important, or at least they're important to someone that is important to us, or at least they're important to people who have authority over us in some way. And so we end up spending a lot of time and a lot of effort and a lot of mental focus and a lot of emotional energy poured into things that ultimately really aren't that important. Have you ever had a day where you were busy all day long and someone says to you towards the end of the day, what'd you do today? And you think, I don't know. I was busy all day. I don't know, I went to work. I did stuff. I stopped by the store. I don't know, but I sure was busy. And some of us go for years doing that. It's not just a day here and there. Sometimes those days become weeks, and weeks turn into months, and months turn into years of our life. And we think, what have you done the last few years? And we think, I don't know, but I sure have been busy. Whatever it is, it's made me tired. I've been occupied with a lot of things, but honestly, I'm not sure. And sometimes we wonder, why am I not climbing those tall mountains that I thought I could climb? Why am I not understanding life like I thought I would? Why are things not happening in my life? I read a book years ago that said the reason most of us are not able to slay the dragon is not because the dragon is so powerful, it's that we're distracted by the gnats. Just all these gnats flying around. And we know there's a dragon out there. There's a great battle we could win and do something important. But we're distracted by all the gnats that are just flying around. The things that just occupy our mind. Little unimportant stuff that we get upset over. I mean, name the last 10 things you were upset about. You probably can't. Maybe you can name the last one or the last two. But I bet most of us cannot name the last 10 things that really upset us. Because once you get back 2 or 3 days or a week or whatever it is, we forgot what it even was that upset us. Remember the argument you had with your spouse or your friend or coworker? What was that about? I'd say probably half of us remember that one. Especially if it was unusual, if you're not one to argue very often. You probably remember that one. But I bet about half of us was like, I don't know, we just got upset. I forget what it was about. They seem very important at the time, don't they? We spend so much time and energy and effort and focus on those things that upset us, that we think are a big deal, that we're sure we must get our way, and then a few days later, we can't even remember what we were upset about. We can't even remember why we were so distracted. The Bible warns us about this and tells us there is something you need to pursue that is important. And a lot of this other stuff is not. And we make it important. We focus on it. We put our energy on it. And if somebody at the time tells us that's not important, don't worry about that, we get really upset. We don't like to hear that. But the Bible comes along and tells us, you know what you really need to focus on? Spirituality, wisdom, the knowledge and understanding that comes from God. And the thing is, if we do that, a lot of these other things come into focus. If we are focused on the knowledge and the understanding of God, if we are focused on the wisdom that comes from God, not our own generated wisdom, not the wisdom that necessarily is passed down from our families or our communities, not that any of that's bad. We're talking about real, eternal wisdom that comes from God. If we are focused on those things, a lot of these other things in life, you know what? They begin to fall into perspective. They begin to get a lot smaller. That if we look upon God's Spirit, a lot of the things of life, these little gnats that distract us and irritate us, that we seem to be focused on all day and never quite accomplish anything, all that stuff begins to grow very small in the light of God. And wouldn't that be nice? Early in our service, we celebrated Holy Communion. And we took that little piece of bread and that little bit of juice. And when we did that, I tried to remind you that it's more than just bread and juice, that this is a touch of the divine. This is the presence of Jesus himself, the body and the blood of Christ on a spiritual level, not physically, but spiritually. That becomes a very important thing. And if we begin to experience those kind of moments, if we begin to catch just a little glimpse of God as we pray each day, if we begin to see a little bit of divine when we read the scriptures, if we began to see a little bit of Jesus in the world, a lot of the things that are so monumentally important to us right now begin to diminish. And we begin to see what's truly important. So what would happen in your life if you made the decision today that what was most important would become most important to you? See, it's interesting how sometimes we really have good intentions of being a spiritual person, a more prayerful person, a person that is filled with the Spirit and the strength and the peace of God. We want that. We want to be at peace. We don't want to be in turmoil all the time. We want to know the peace of God, that peace that passes all understanding, as the Scripture tells us. We want to be strong and not feel overwhelmed by the world. And the Bible teaches us that we have the strength of the Holy Spirit in our life. We want these things. And yet, are we focused on the things that bring them? Are we focused on prayer and Scripture and worship? Are we focused on the knowledge and understanding of God? Or do we focus on a lot of other things and then wonder why God has not given us peace and strength and joy? Why is my life not joyful? I'm a Christian. Why am I not at peace? Why do I not have strength? Why do I not experience all these things? Are we focused on the things the Scripture tells us to focus on in order to have those things? That strength and peace and joy and all these things come from Spirit. And so many times we think, well, I'll have more time next week. I'll try to carve out some time next month. Once I get through this project, once I get through this next idea, you know, we live our whole lives like that sometimes. I've observed a few times in the past, I've observed that sometimes our whole life goes that way, that people go through school and when they think, you know, when I graduate from university and I don't have all these pressures to study all the time, I don't have all these tests and papers hanging over me, when I graduate from university, then I'm going to have some time to really pursue the important things of life. Well, you know, I got this new job, and once I get settled into my new job, once I get this promotion, and I'm really set in my job, you know, once I find that truly special person and I get married, you know, once we have kids and we have our family, once I get these kids out of this house, you know, once I retire, then I'll have some time. We just spent our whole life looking over the next hill and thinking, then I'll do what's important. Our whole life sometimes is spent waiting for that next major event of life when things will finally fall into place and I'll have some time to do what's really important. Jesus was once asked, what's really important? You know, there's tons of laws and rules and regulations in the Old Testament and rituals, and there's just so many things in the Old Testament that the Jewish people would follow as far as rituals and laws that they followed. And someone asked Jesus, what's the most important? And Jesus said, there's two. There is love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, with everything that you are. Every ounce of your being to love God and then love neighbor as you would love yourself. And sometimes I've been asked before, well, what if you don't love yourself? Some people aren't very fond of themselves. And there's a long answer to that, but I'll give you the short one. If you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you pour yourself and do absolutely loving God, you're going to love yourself because you're a creation of God. Takes care of itself. And then you love other people as that creation of God. Jesus said, everything in the law and the prophets, everything comes down to that, to love God with every ounce of who you are and to love your neighbor. Those are the important things. That's what's important. And when we pursue that, God is the giver of wisdom and knowledge. God is the giver of that spiritual life. If we pursue those things, everything else takes care of itself. And so many times we are doing so many things except those two things. A lot of really good people are doing a lot of very good things, working very, very hard to be a good person, and yet not doing those two things. That we do it for other reasons, we do it for praise of others, we do it for a lot of things, but we don't pursue the absolute most important things. The Bible tells us, God is the giver of wisdom. Pursue it like gold, like silver, like buried treasure, like the most important thing there could possibly be. Pursue that. And most of us would say, yeah, I would like to do that. I would love to have the wisdom of God. I would love to have the Spirit of God and that peace and that joy and the strength to face life. I'd really want that. But, you know, there's just so many distractions. I've quoted many times Corrie Ten Boom that said, if the devil can't make us rebellious, he'll make us busy. I love that quote. I'm guilty of that quote. I don't ever want to rebel against God, but man, sometimes I get distracted by a lot of stuff. If the devil can't make us rebellious, he'll make us busy. We get so caught up in so many small things, so many unimportant things. And as John Maxwell said, it's impossible to overestimate the unimportance of practically everything. Practically everything that is capturing your attention and your efforts and making you upset and distracting you and keeping you busy, most of it's going to be unimportant. Practically everything is going to be unimportant. When Jesus was asked, what is important? Love God and love your neighbor. If we do that much, all the other stuff can fall into place. And so our challenge today is to let that touch of the divine be within us, to experience the grace of Jesus Christ today, and to allow that to be our focus, to allow God to be our teacher, to focus on the things of wisdom, of Scripture, of prayer, of worship, both here and daily worship and prayer to God. To focus on things that are truly important, of loving God with every ounce of our being and loving our neighbor as ourselves. If we can do that, God is the giver of wisdom. And all the other things will fall into place. God will lead us through all that other stuff. There's a lot of stuff out there in the world that's going to demand our attention, and almost everything is unimportant. Here is what is important. We are together in God's presence. May that be the most important thing in our life in this moment. Let's pray together. Our Lord, thank you that you are the most important thing, and that true wisdom and knowledge comes from you, from your Spirit. And so, Lord, we're going to do a lot of things. There's going to be a lot of demands upon us, ordinary, everyday things, and some big events, some trivial things. But, Lord, through it all, help us to keep what is truly important, our focus. Lord, you told us that love, the love we have for you and the love we have for our neighbor, is the most important thing. You've told us that the knowledge, the wisdom of God, the understanding of God, is something we need to pursue like treasure. That's more important than any material thing. Lord, help us to have that focus. Forgive us that we get so distracted in so many other things, most of which are completely unimportant. Forgive us that we get so upset about things and then can't even remember what we were upset over, because in time it becomes so trivial. Help us instead, Lord, to focus on what is truly important. Yes, we have many tasks to do during the day, but help us in our hearts and our spirit to be connected to you, to know what is truly important, your spirit, your wisdom, your love. We ask for this as we gather in your house, in your presence, as your children, to lift our prayers to you.